Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is Series 3, Episode 10, and this one is all about Egypt.
Hi guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast. Like Amy said, we are talking about Egypt, and this is the second episode of our big round-the-world trip. This is going to be an interesting one because, like I said on a previous episode, Amy's not going to be sitting on the fence on this one, is it? It was a trip full of ups and downs in Egypt, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's quite clean cut for me of what I think about Egypt, and I'm going to tell all, and I'm going to be very honest about my opinions. Right, let's go straight to shout-outs. Slither down the slide of shouting shout outs.
What was that? I'm gonna get on with it.
I'm trying to mix it up a little bit.
No, I liked it. I like the effort. So we heard from Georgia and Jordan, aka, that's quite hard to say together, say that quickly 10 times. Georgia and Jordan, aka that couple that travels on Instagram. They mentioned us in their story. They said they love listening to us and seeing our pictures. They said, actually, because we tell the ups and downs of travel. So perfect episode for that.
Yeah, I think they're going to like this one.
We also heard from Backpacktopia on Instagram, who gave us some great advice, very appropriately, for Egypt. He saw that we were going to Egypt and gave us some advice because he'd been there recently and made some videos about it. One really good bit of advice he said was, don't buy an overnight train ticket yourself, get a local person to do it and you'll save loads of money. Anyway, that was Backpacktopia, so check out their videos on YouTube. We also heard from Adam Cheshire on Instagram. He said he loves the show and loves what we're doing, says that it's inspiring. Thank you. We also heard from the guys over at See It With Your Own Eyes blog. Now, the girl, Christine Duteau, her name, or
woman.
Minnie, or the woman. Yeah, what's more respectful, woman or
girl?
I'd
say woman. Don't call her a girl.
Okay. The woman behind that blog is a friend of ours, Christine. I used to go to school with her, actually. Although, as we know her, Minnie.
But they mentioned, it's so weird to hear you call her Christine.
Christine, yeah. Most of my friends, I don't call them by their first name. It's weird. But they got in touch and they put us on their story and just said that our podcast was really good and everything. So thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And they really liked our pictures of Jordan. That's a little tease for the next episode.
Ooh.
And finally, move on to these following legends. Two new people who have jumped on the Patreon bandwagon who are supporting the show. Alan Lamb. And friend from back home, Becky Lovelock.
Thank you, guys. It means so much to us. It's honestly amazing. Like I say on every episode.
Yeah, but being a Patreon is incredible. You guys really are keeping us going and you're really buying into what we do. Literally buying into buying into what we do. So thanks to everyone that got in touch and thanks to our two new patrons.
Yeah, and just a little plug, if you want to, head over to YouTube and type in What the Faux Travel Podcast, because we're now on YouTube and we're releasing videos of our trips and things like that and different documentaries as well. So make sure you go over there, hit subscribe, and also go to iTunes and give us a review, because it honestly really, really helps and we would love you forever.
Thanks.
Now that shout outs are done, let's move on and explain where we are, just in case some of this background noise is coming out. So we're sitting on our balcony in Cyprus.
We are, so...
Doesn't that sound jazzy?
It does sound good. Probably sounds better than it actually looks like. We're on a... It's just an Airbnb apartment with a balcony, which is great. We're on a residential road. It's not the best road. But because it is a residential road, there are people around and there are cars and doors slamming. So if you hear some background noise, we are sorry, guys. We're doing our best here. And inside the apartment, it's too echoey. So this is better. And we get to sit outside in the sun. It's November, but it's a beautiful day. It's great.
I'm getting sunburn for you guys, so I hope you appreciate it.
This episode is sponsored by Storyteller, the travel accessories company that helps provide access to a quality education for individuals in less privileged areas of the world.
Now on this episode, what's coming up, I hear you ask? Well, we have game show facts, language lessons with Amy. We're going to be talking about Cairo, Aswan, Luxor, Alexandria and also Gamasa. We will be telling you what a felucca is, talking about Egyptian food, couch surfing in Egypt. We rate our tour that we went on. We have a one-off feature for this episode called Tutti Time. That's time we talk about Tutankhamun. We delve into our new feature, Fobservations, once again. And, of course, our game for this episode is called Who Do You Sphinx You Are? It's now time for language lessons with Amy. Now, we've spoke about Arabic before. So, yeah, in Egypt, they speak Arabic, if you didn't know. And recently, we've been travelling to a lot of different countries that speak Arabic, and we've been told there's a traditional Arabic, which everybody can understand, and then each country has their own sort of slang or dialect.
Yep. Yeah, but, you know, the common words are shukran is thank you,
yep.
Hello, which you say very well, I think.
Salam alaikum.
And you can just say salam.
Yeah, well. So we found out in another country that kind of older people or religious people always say the full sentence, salam alaikum. But if you're kind of like young and cool, you just say salam.
Young and cool. So that was us.
We were saying salam all the time.
I also like the word habibi, which means like my darling.
Yes.
Now, do you remember, we'll talk about him later, but our couchsurfing host, Islam, we were on the tube on the metro in Cairo, and it was busy. Like, it was like commuter hour. At rush hour. Why did I say commute an hour? And my backpack, one of the straps was twisted, and he untwisted it for me. And it was a bit of an intimate moment. We looked at each other in the eye, and he untwisted it. And in front of all these people, I said, shukran, habibi. And he said, don't joke about that. Like, don't say that in public. But what is it you learnt, which is an offensive thing to say to someone?
Yeah, so this all comes out of my bucket list, where I have to learn 30 different sentences in 30 different languages. And I learnt mafe moch. And I wouldn't recommend you saying it to somebody because it basically means you're stupid, but you have nothing in between the ears. You have no brain. Mafe moch.
Yeah. And I think that was Egyptian slang because we said it in Jordan and someone said, I don't think that's proper Arabic. So was that like Egyptian slang?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. We think so anyway. But, you know, we're learning. We're trying to embrace the local culture while we're there.
Yeah. But I think Arabic is a very difficult language, even in terms of sounds, really. And vocal cords and all of that, like, they speak in a completely different way to us. We don't have the kh sound in our language. And so, it's quite difficult, especially for an English-speaking person to move to Arabic. But it's a fascinating one. I would love to say that I could speak Arabic.
Yeah, and what a good language it would be to learn, because so much of the world speak it, like all the Middle East and North Africa. There's a lot of countries that speak Arabic.
Yeah, it would get you far. And, of course, a word that most people know is yalla.
That's the popular one.
Yeah, which means, come on, let's go, quickly, come on.
Yeah, yalla, yalla.
But I love the way they say it, because it's not just yalla, it's yalla, yalla. It's like, it comes from the throat. It's just such a nice sounding language. I love it. So that's Arabic. We will be going into it a bit more with our future episodes as well, because we've just travelled Jordan, who speak Arabic, and also, no, that's it. We went to Israel as well, but they speak Hebrew, so completely different language.
Although Palestine, yeah.
Palestine, they speak Arabic, which is going to be on our Israel episode as well.
Yes, that'll be very interesting. Lots coming up.
Right, let's go for some game show facts, Nick.
Walk like an Egyptian. Most popularly known for its ancient civilization, Egypt is the largest Arab country in population. The population is around 83 million, and the capital city is Cairo, the largest city in Africa. Egypt's teeming cities are concentrated along the banks of the River Nile, and desert occupies most of the country. Islam is the main religion, as most people in Egypt today are Muslims. The famous pyramids of Giza were built around 2500 BC. Around this time in ancient Egypt, kings, also known as pharaohs, ruled, and they were considered to be gods. Pyramids were built by the public, not slaves, as a sort of national service, and the pyramids were built as tombs for pharaohs and their queens. Apparently, there are enough stones in the three pyramids of Giza to build a 5-meter wall around France. Ancient Egyptians invented the 365-day calendar and leap year. Egypt has been under foreign rule several times. In 332 BC, it was Alexander the Great from ancient Macedonia. Then in 31 BC, it was the Romans. Then in 1882, Britain takes control of the country until the Egyptian Revolution in 1952. Football is the major sport in Egypt, and the people are so crazy about Egyptian footballer Mo Salah that he received 1 million votes in the presidential election, and he wasn't even running.
Really?
That's insane. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. We're in 2018 now. Earlier this year, I remember hearing about it on the radio back in England.
Wow. Wow, that's how did they even vote for him if he wasn't running?
They just wrote his name down.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy.
But they are obsessed, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the name I heard the most on the streets.
Yeah, especially when people say, where are you from? And I say England, because Mo Salah plays in England. He plays at Liverpool, currently now he does. And as soon as I said I'm from England, they just said, Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Mo Salah. And if you disagree with them and say, yeah, he's the best, they love you.
Yeah, and they did. They really did love you.
They did.
Maybe a bit too much. No. Also, my other favourite fact that came out of that, and I remember learning it on our tour, was about the leap year.
Yeah.
So Egyptians came up with the leap year because they worked out, what was it, that the sun...
Yeah, so it's like...
...was adding on an extra hour.
Exactly. So after, I think it takes a while, after a few years or something, they realise their clocks are a little bit out. And that's because, yeah, the days are not exactly 24 hours. That's where a leap year comes from.
They're just so clever, these Egyptians.
Yeah, definitely. For way back then, it's amazing.
It really is. Okay, let's start by giving a brief overview of our trip. So we started with a tour, and the name of that tour company is Encounters. And do we like that company, Nick?
We would not recommend them.
No, for a magnitude of reasons we'll go into throughout this episode. We wouldn't really recommend them, to be honest. We had an okay tour. We went to the sites. We just didn't really get to learn much, and therefore we had to do the research after rather than learning from our tour guide directly.
Exactly. And it wasn't very well organised, was it? It was very rushed.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the tour guide's first one, even though he said he'd been working for the company for 3 years and was a tour guide for like 20 plus years. Later I'll tell you about the fact that we went on a felucca, which is a local boat in Egypt, and we got on the boat and he looked around and was like, oh, this is actually quite nice, isn't it? And I thought, have you never been on a local Egyptian boat? Are you even Egyptian? Like, what is going on? Anyway, basically with our tour, we started in Cairo or Giza, which is kind of the same place but split in two. We travelled all the way down to Aswan via overnight train, and then we got the felucca boat all the way up to Luxor, and then travelled back on the train back to Cairo. And then independently, Nick and I went to Gamasa and then Alexandria, which is in the northwest.
Exactly. What a trip, eh? I mean, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, should we get into it?
Yeah, okay, let's go in hard.
How you like it? Hard and deep. Okay, let's go. Cairo/Giza.
Cairo, what did we think? Right, so this is the place, obviously, where you see the Great Pyramids of Giza. So let's talk about that first.
Yeah, so you hear a lot about it and you see a lot of pictures. It doesn't really live up to the hype, I don't think. I still think everyone should go and see the pyramids.
Yeah, especially if you're in Egypt. How can you go to Egypt and not visit the pyramids?
And I'm glad we did. And it is amazing. What massive structures, you know, built all the way back then. But yeah, like, what amazing structures. Everyone should see them once. I enjoyed it. Like, I thought they were good. They just didn't live up to the hype. It wasn't like one of them days, you know, real special day traveling when we went to Taj Mahal. Like, that blew me away.
Yeah.
The pyramids were all right. It's just full of tourists and just a bit, I don't know, not very nice and clean, just a bit crappy, really. What do you think?
Yeah, so when you first walk through the entrance, you're greeted by the first pyramid and everybody's taking pictures, and that one you can actually go inside. So you climb up the pyramid kind of quarter of the way up, maybe a third, and then you get to go inside and you can see different things inside it, which we didn't go because you have to pay an extra ticket. And you'll hear this is a common theme in Egypt. You pay to go in somewhere. If you want to actually do the activity, you have to pay an extra ticket. If you want to go to the toilet, you have to pay an extra ticket. If you want to then see the special thing inside the special thing, you have to buy an extra ticket.
You want to take pictures or film, extra ticket.
Everything is an extra ticket, so be aware when you go somewhere what you're paying to get in is kind of base price. And so, yeah, you can go inside and see things. But we kind of went halfway through into the pyramid. Do you remember? Because our tour guide showed us where there was a bit of coral.
Yes.
On the inside, which showed that it was all under water. Yep. Years and years ago.
Yeah, the River Nile used to regularly, every year, would flood like a lot. So, yeah, sometimes the pyramids were underwater.
And it's kind of mind-blowing when you then look around and think, wow, all of this was underwater. Because it's just such a vast space. Anyway, so yeah, you can go inside that one and then take all your pictures. And there's so many people obviously trying to get that Insta pic as well. So it's a bit chaotic. To add into the mix, you have a lot of men trying to sell to you.
Yeah.
And it's very intense. And by our tour guide, we were told that the stuff you buy in there is lower quality and more expensive. So if you do want to buy some souvenirs, I would recommend not buying it there. After that, it's quite common that everybody gets on some sort of bus to go to the next one, because then if you go to the middle one, you can get a really good viewpoint of all three together. And again, it's just another viewpoint with people selling, and it's just quite intense. And then you can go to the third one, which I'm not sure many people know this, but the third smaller pyramid has three of its own pyramids next to it. So one represents the father, one the mother, and one the child.
Oh, well done, I forgot that.
There you go, mate. I do listen sometimes. So yeah, obviously you can't miss it. It's you've got to go if you're in Egypt. But yeah, it didn't blow me away, and I was quite upset by that. No, but I don't think it's down to my expectations either.
And also the tour as well, it's quite rushed. It was like, here you go, take a picture, next viewpoint, take a picture, and we're off, like, go. And we feel like we didn't really do the pyramids that much. But something that I thought was interesting, you've probably all seen it on a picture, or if you've been there, you'll know what I mean. On top of one of the big ones, it looks like it's got like a kind of cap on top of it, but that's not. That's what the whole exterior was. It was all smooth from top to bottom, but just over the years of different people that ruled Egypt, that actually have started to take the pyramid apart using the rocks to build other things. So what you see now is actually, yeah, not what it used to look like. And I imagine when it was all done and all smooth on the outside, it would have looked incredible. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, and it's still mind-blowing that they were built all those years ago. And it's only been recently that they worked out how they did it, because they transported that, because the stone is so heavy. It's similar to Stonehenge in England and Easter Island, the rocks on there. They didn't know how they had got there because they're just so heavy. But here in Egypt, they worked out only, I think, within the last 5 years that they'd transported the rocks down the River Nile.
Yeah.
And that's how they got there.
But it would have been incredible to see how, they would have built something back then. But still very cool. And sometimes when you're around Giza, so they're actually, they're the city of Giza. And some people think the pyramids are out in the middle of the desert, but they're not. They're right next to the city of Giza. And sometimes when you're in the city, if you're lucky and you get a restaurant with a rooftop bar, you get a view of the pyramids, from afar. And it does look really cool. But like Amy said, we just weren't blown away.
Also, another tip, if you are traveling on your own, there's no write-up around the pyramid. So there's no signs with writing explaining anything. So if you're going in, you probably need a guide or somebody if you do want to learn. If you want to just go in for that Instapic, then fine. But you may need a guide for that. After the three pyramids, you then go see the Sphinx.
Yes, which I thought was quite good. It was a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be in real life.
Yeah, me too.
Do you agree? But it's still quite cool to see the Sphinx, and everyone tries to get that picture when you're like kissing the Sphinx, and you did that, didn't you?
Yep,
I nailed it.
Arabic men laughing at me at the time, but I mean, that was happening at all points during Egypt.
Well, that's true. We'll talk more about that later for sure. But the Sphinx looked cool. It just looked like a big cat with a pharaoh's head, basically.
There you go. That is the way to describe the Sphinx.
But it's got a few things missing, and we have to apologize for that, us Brits, because it's in the British Museum. It's funny, the British Museum is actually full of stuff from around the world that they've stolen or bought. But the Sphinx, it's missing its nose, crown, and chin, I believe. Yeah, and it's all in the British Museum. Yeah, but I quite like the Sphinx, but again, I wasn't really blown away.
No, it has like a temple attached to it, which you walk through. It's okay.
I can take it or leave it.
It's all right.
But then after that, we moved from the city of Giza across the River Nile into the city of Cairo to go to the Egyptian Museum, which I was looking forward to. I thought, out of all the museums in the world, this is going to be the one that's interesting.
Absolutely.
But that kind of didn't really impress us either. It didn't help that our tour guide, he speaks very fast and throws lots of facts and dates and names at you, and it was just hard to follow. So, when you don't really know what it is you're looking at, it's hard to be interested. I don't really like walking around museums anyway at the best of times, so I was actually a bit disappointed with the Egyptian Museum.
The element that really surprised me about the Egyptian Museum was the amount of people that were there.
Yeah.
I've never been in a museum before where I'm literally like shoulder to shoulder with other people, you'd go into different rooms and there's like 100 people in there. Yeah. So much so that they actually give you headphones and the tour guide talks into a little microphone. So wherever you're standing in the room, you can hear them. But it was really unclear, so we couldn't hear any of it. And yeah, like you said, he was talking really fast. So frustratingly, we didn't really learn that much. We saw a lot of sarcophaguses, which is kind of the what we would call a modern day casket. So where the body was put.
Yep.
Or the pharaoh, and it kind of explained the engravings on the inside where you could tell where the feet had been put. So yeah, we saw a lot, and I would recommend anyone going, but that's another place where you have to buy an extra ticket if you want to take photos. There's also a Tutankhamun room there specifically for him, which has a special casing over his headdress.
Yeah.
Would you call it a headdress? Just to preserve it and make sure the colours don't fade and things like that. And that was really good because I was really interested with Tutankhamun when I was younger, which I'll go into in a little bit because I'm going to do a little Tootie time.
Oh, Tootie time.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you some facts on Tutankhamun because I just think he's really interesting.
But then the thing that annoyed me about the museum, yeah, the bit we liked, Tutankhamun, can't take pictures in there.
Yeah.
Even if you have the extra ticket for the camera, you can't take pictures of him, which is annoying. But that was that, really. And that's all we saw of Cairo and Giza. We didn't really see the city at all, but we knew we were coming back. And I was looking forward to exploring Cairo because when we first arrived and got like our car from the airport, we drove through a lot of Cairo. And I remember thinking like, well, this place is so different to anywhere I've seen before. Loads of high-rise buildings. And like, this is going to sound weird that I'm saying this. Like, it all looked quite shit, but that interested me. I was like, this place looks amazing. Like, I can't wait to come back here and explore. And we do later.
Yeah, and see, I actually thought the opposite, which is one of the first time this has happened when we was travelling from the airport. You were like, wow, this is so cool. And I was looking around thinking, this looks like the bad side of India for me. I love India. It's one of my favourite countries, but I appreciate there's a lot of negatives to it. Yet when we arrived in Egypt, in Cairo, I just saw all the negatives and I thought, I don't like this.
Yeah.
That was kind of my first gut feeling, but I was open for it to be changed, and yeah, I was happy to keep an open mind. But I think my gut was correct.
We'll go into that a bit later.
While we're on the subject of the pyramids and pharaohs, I want to do a little thing called Tootie Time.
Care to explain the name?
So it's Tutankhamun time. But when we was there, he's my favourite pharaoh, which is probably because he's the most famous one and he's got a rocking headdress.
He does, you're right.
But I'm really fascinated by him. And when we was there, I like to call him Tootie because we're best mates.
First name, or nickname terms.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, a bit of Tootie time. I'm going to give you some facts on Tootie.
Hit me.
Did you know his original name was not Tutankhamun?
Get out.
You did know that though, didn't you?
I mean,
we learned it quite a few times on the tour, so...
What was his real name?
His real name was Tutankhaten. And I'll tell you why he changed his name. So his parents gave him the name of Tutankhaten because they worshipped the sun god known as Aten. Right, but then once he grew up, he was like, my parents don't know anything and I'm gonna worship a different god, and therefore he had to change his name because he was a pharaoh, so he was then called Tutankhamun.
Whoa, okay.
Fact number two is that Tutankhamun has the smallest royal tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Shocking, hey, because he's the most famous one.
He should have the biggest.
Because he was quite young when he died as well. He was about 18, 19.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what, he was a pharaoh, a king. But yeah, died at 18, so he was a young king.
And when you look at pharaohs, the way to tell if their kingdom or their sort of temple was built when they were alive or dead is if their arms are crossing their chest and they have, well, like a long square beard, that means that they were dead when the temple was built.
Right, okay.
But if their arms are just not crossed and they have quite a round phallic-shaped beard, that means they're alive. So all the ones you'll see of Tutankhamun, he'll have his arms crossed because he died really young, unexpected death.
And to this day, do we know how he died? Amy?
No, I don't think we do.
That is correct.
Yeah. This is good Tootie time, isn't it?
It is.
Fact number three, he was buried in a secondhand coffin. as well. Tutankhamun loved to hunt ostriches, which is a really hard word to say.
Wow, okay.
And the reason we know that is because there's an ostrich feather fan that was buried with him. Mm. And there were some inscriptions that showed him going off in the distance and hunting those ostriches.
Okay.
Next fact, Tutankhamun's heart is missing, as is yours, Nick, because you are dead inside. I don't know where that was a bit dark, wasn't it?
Bloody hell, that was.
You okay? Did you cuddle?
I'm a bit thrown by that. Okay, his heart is missing. Okay.
Yeah, the ancient Egyptians believed that it was possible to live again after death, but thought this could only be achieved if the body was preserved in a lifelike condition. This led them to develop the science of artificial mummification. And that's something that really, really interested me when I was in primary school. It just blew my mind that they would pull the brain out of the nose with a hook.
Yep.
Even today, I don't understand how that can happen.
No, I don't get it. But how bad is that? That's made me realise the whole time we were in Egypt, yeah, mummies are the most famous thing. Did we learn anything about mummies when we were there?
Not really, no.
No, what a shame. But we're learning now.
They're not actually too sure why his heart is missing, but there could be a few reasons. So Tutankhamun may have died far from home. So by the time his body arrived at the undertaker's workshop, where they would then start to mummify him, his heart may have been too decayed to be preserved.
Okay.
Or it may have just been because the undertakers were careless. Sometimes they just ripped shit out and didn't really care what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I just find it really interesting, this whole mummification scenario. So depending on what they took out of the body. So the brain, at that point, its function was unknown. So they just threw it away.
Wow.
Which is just mental because we now know it is the most important organ.
Yeah.
But back then, the heart, rather than the brain, was regarded as the organ of reasoning. So yeah, how we see the brain is how they used to see the heart.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It's just crazy, yeah, how they looked at the body. But they were just so intelligent. It just blows me away.
Yeah, but they got the brain thing wrong, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but still.
But people do sometimes think with their heart, don't they? When you think with your heart or your head. I know it's an expression. Don't worry, carry on.
The next fact is one of Tutankhamun's favourite possessions was an iron dagger. If you were to be buried, here we go, little mini game here. If you were to be buried as an Egyptian today, what items would you put in there? You've got three. Go.
Oh. Football top, like of your team.
Oh, that's depressing. Okay.
Wedding ring.
Okay, I thought that would be the first one. Cool.
at least it's there on the list. And your menstrual cup.
Okay. That got weirder than I thought it was going to go. I would probably do my rings together, yeah. So my wedding and engagement ring, I guess that's just kind of one item, isn't it?
Yeah.
My passports.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I've kept my old one because it had a few stamps in it. And then my current one. And my menstrual cup.
Yeah, I want that.
No, I don't know what my third one would be. Maybe some like photos of loved ones. There we go. Next Tutti fact. His trumpets have entertained an audience of more than 150 million.
Okay.
So he had trumpets as in the instrument. But the reason that it had so many listeners is because on the 16th of April 1939, the two trumpets were played on a BBC live radio broadcast from the Cairo Museum, which is where we went. And it reached an estimated 150 million listeners.
That is interesting.
It's very interesting. That's I like a good that one. And the last fact, Tutankhamun was buried in the world's most expensive coffin.
Ooh.
Now, he was put in three different coffins, a bit like a Russian doll, how they kind of all go inside each other.
Yep.
And the three coffins were made of wood, covered with a gold sheet. But to Howard Carter's great surprise, the guy who found him, the innermost coffin was made from thick sheets of beaten gold. So if that was scrapped today, his coffin would be worth over £1 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go. But of course, we all know that Tutankhamun's final resting place is, of course, priceless.
Oh, that was so cringe. And that was you reading from the script.
No.
But that was good. Tutti time.
Tutti time, love it.
So, should we talk about the next place he went to? We got an overnight train to Aswan.
Which is supposed to take about 12 hours, but I think it ended up taking about 14, and the train was about 3 hours late, so if you are getting a train, don't worry too much with times, if like kind of expect them to be late. Be on time, but expect them to be late.
Absolutely. So Aswan is right in the south of Egypt, and it's more desert here. And bloody hell, it was hot and dry, wasn't it?
Yeah, Christ. The temperature completely changed.
Bloody hell. But yeah, we can't comment much on, you know, buying train tickets and things like that. I mentioned earlier in shout-outs that Backpacktopia have got a good video on that. Because we did a tour, it was all arranged for us. Although, again, one of the problems with the tour company was the day we arrived in Aswan, we arrived late, we arrived about midday, and we're supposed to get breakfast that day with the tour that we already paid for. And our tour guide was like, what? I don't remember that. Or he didn't know what was going on. So that was frustrating. But when we eventually arrived at Aswan, we were able to have a little time walking around the market, the souks. Most of the time, men are giving Amy like inappropriate looks because, according to them, she might not be wearing the right clothes, even though you were always very respectful, but it was very hot.
Yeah.
And there was that and a combination of men saying, Mosalah, Mosalah to me. I remember one man said to you, you're my daughter. Do you remember?
You are my daughter. And I think he was saying it to you, kind of saying, your that's daughter? My daughter. And I was like, okay, that's weird.
But most of the time, the people were quite nice. They were okay, apart from comments and looks and stares you were getting. But we walked around Aswan Market for a bit, which was fine. And then later on that day is when we got on the felucca, the traditional Egyptian boat.
Yeah, now, and I love this. This was probably the highlight of Egypt for me, and I would recommend anyone to do it. We were on the boat for two nights because you have a separate boat that stays with like with you the whole time, and it has a toilet and quote-unquote showers, which weren't showers, and ours were blocked and not working, so I had to kind of bend down and use it as a tap as a shower. But I went not showering for 2 days. I was not happy with that. But the boat was very comfortable and very nice, and we had our whole group on there. We were playing cards. They fed us three times a day.
Good food.
And the staff on the boat were brilliant. They were really, really nice local people. And yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, and it's nice and relaxing because it's an old style sailboat. It's not an engine, just sail, just the wind taking you down the River Nile. Perfect way to see the River Nile. That was really, really good. And then do you remember one night we stopped with a group of other boats, a load of other tourists, and they put on a meal for us on the shore, and they put on some music and entertainment, didn't they? Proper like Nubian style. They're the traditional people in that part of the world, and that was quite fun and eventful watching all this music. And one of the guys in particular was going a bit crazy, like he was possessed. But that was quite good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very tribal possessed dancing, and he was screaming at one point. He was a very interesting guy.
But sleeping on the felucca wasn't the best. The first night we didn't have a mosquito net, and I don't know why, so we all got bitten to shit. But it was okay, see, but it does get very cold in places where it's desert, very hot in the day, very cold at night. There were blankets provided, but didn't have the best sleep. And like Amy said, the shower situation, I decided not to shower for 2 days, which is gross, but it just seemed like too much effort. Do you know what I mean? I thought when we get to our hotel next, then I'll shower.
Yeah, and I think that happens when you're traveling. I don't think you should be embarrassed by that. So many people do that. They go a week without showering, but for me, with travelling, it's the only thing that I really will kick up a fuss about. I want to shower once a day. That's all I'm asking for. I don't mind a crappy bed. Just for me, I just need to be clean.
That's fair enough. One last thing I say about the felucca. We can't give much advice to people who want to book a felucca ride because it was all arranged by our tour company. But I think it's best if you just turn up in Aswan, walk along the river side, and you'll talk to people who are selling rides and just haggle with them. Like, I think you'll get a good price.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But just make sure you haggle. Do not take the first price because they're going to be cheeky with you. And you can have a laugh with them. Haggling doesn't have to be a stressful ordeal. If you have a bit of a joke with them, they're more likely to give you like a better price, I guess.
Yeah, have a bit of banter, have a laugh with them. I think it's fine.
Absolutely. But yeah, definitely get a felucca. I would say probably one night is good enough. You'll get the whole experience, and because doing it for two nights was maybe a bit too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with like bad sleeping, because it's essentially you're in a dorm hostel, so you've got a lot of people around you getting up, coughing, sneezing and snoring, and you get a bad sleep. And also we had a dog barking pretty much the whole night through.
God.
Just this really aggressive wild dog, and it was just really annoying. But yeah, definitely make sure you get on a felucca. Even if it's a day trip, do it. The next place we went to was Luxor. Now, this is where you'll see Tutankhamun. This is where he's buried in the Valley of the Kings. And unfortunately, we can't give you much information about that. And why is that, Nick?
Well, there were two reasons. One, it was an extra ticket, and we thought, we're on a budget, we ain't paying for that. And then we later realised, oh no, it is included, but the programme of our tour said, after 2 days on the Felucca, you'll be exhausted, so have a well-earned rest and have a lie-in, have a sleep-in, and then the next day in the afternoon, we go to the Valley of the Kings. But then our tour guide, late at night, the night before, said, oh no, you've got to be up by 5 and leave him. And after 2 days on the Felucca, no sleep, no showers, we thought, we're not doing that. So we told him, no, thank you, we're not going to do it, we need some rest. But we still got a wake-up call at 5 in the morning from the hotel, didn't we?
Yes, they like to give us a call at that time. And this might not sound like much, but the whole trip was just incredibly unorganised, where this should have been included within our ticket. Also, the reason you had to get up that early was because of other people on the tour that wanted to do a hot air balloon, which was an extra ticket. That was an extra optional thing that you could do. But the main tour was based around that. And I just thought that was completely inconsiderate. If you want to do a hot air balloon, fine, wake up and do that. That's great for you.
Yeah.
But for some people that don't want to do it, I think the tour needs to be streamlined. It needs to be made for that. And then if you want to do these extra tickets, you need to go out of your way to do that or pay extra or whatever.
It shouldn't affect us because someone else wants to do a hot air balloon.
No, and it might sound like, oh, poor you, first world problems. But we were so incredibly tired because the whole thing was just stressful and unorganized, and we just needed to sleep. And there was a lot of other people on the tour that felt the same, and they stayed as well. So, it was quite difficult. But, I don't know, the people that did go, we asked them when they came back, was it worth it? And there was a lot of issues with the hot air balloon. Some of them didn't take it because of various reasons. And it was just all very unorganised. And we actually felt like, I'm glad we stayed here and relaxed, because it just sounded like a horrible experience.
Yeah, and even if we went to the Valley of the Kings, if you then want to go in and see Tutankhamun, it's an extra ticket, but not any old extra ticket. It was like £100 or £200, or like English pounds.
I think actually, it was maybe 1,000 Egyptian pounds.
So I think it's more like 50 or 60 English pounds. So yeah, you said about 1,000 Egyptian pounds. It was actually around like 40 or 50 British pounds. But like for us two people, no way. That's like way blowing our budget. So we thought, we can't be doing all these extra tickets. So even if we did go to Valley of the Kings, we couldn't see Tutankhamun anyway. But we did explore a bit of town, Luxor, which actually I really did not like. It wasn't very nice, Luxor.
No, out of all the places we went to, that was my least favourite. It was just very aggressive.
Oh,
every time you walk along the street, you are hassled no end.
And they don't give up.
They don't give up. Even if you talk to them in Arabic, like I kept saying, la shukran, which means no thank you. I wasn't speaking my own language, and I was trying to be polite, but they just wouldn't give up. And the thing that annoyed me was they were trying to get you to go on these horse and carts to go round. And I mean, I'm not your pro animal person, like really strong, but of course it's unacceptable with cruelty to animals. And I just hate it so much. And these animals are so skinny. I can see their ribs.
Yeah.
There's no water in sight, no food in sight. And they're being aggressive. And I said to them when they walked past, I said, like, they're trying to get money from me. And I said, I'll give you money when you start looking after your animals. It was just a really frustrating situation.
Yeah, and Luxor was not good. So we didn't really do anything in Luxor, didn't see the attractions and didn't really like it. So that's enough said, really. So we then got an overnight train back to Cairo, where our tour finished. But our last night in Cairo, I actually really enjoyed that. I think it was my favourite part, because our tour guide took us around the markets, the souks in Cairo, and they were amazing. Like, it wasn't the markets you think of in Morocco. I think they're a bit better.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed walking around Cairo. This market was buzzing, and I thought it was good.
Yeah, and you got some of the hassle there as well, but it was nice hassling.
Yeah, it was.
In Luxor, they were very aggressive and nasty about it. To give you an example, we was walking with some people that were on our tour who were in their late 70s. We called them Ma and Pa because they were very cute and they were just so sweet. But one of the sellers went up to her and was about 2 inches away from her face, shouting at her, saying, come buy this, come buy this. And so I moved into his face and I said, la shukran, like leave her alone, this is unacceptable. And he got really angry with me and he was saying, no, you don't say it like this, you don't say it like this. So I asked the tour guide later, had I said something wrong? And he said, if you say la shukran with a bit of aggression behind your voice, that's more rude than what we would think.
Okay.
But I don't regret it because he was in her face.
Yeah, she's a little old lady.
Yeah, and he was being so aggressive, so I was like moving him out of her way. Like, how dare you? Like, do it to anybody is rude, but to do it to somebody of age is really disgusting. So I don't care. Like, get out of my way. And I think sometimes you have to be rude with these people. I don't care if people think that's bad advice or not. I think sometimes you have to be straight up with people saying you're being too rude. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, Amy got quite good at shouting at the local men. You were just, yeah, but you know, it was necessary. You able more times than not to get people away, because they can see when they talk to me, they've got a bit of hope with me that they might break me down, but with you, it's not going to happen.
You ain't breaking down this wall.
Yeah. And then we had the last night in Cairo with our group, just a little dinner, which was quite nice. Say goodbye to everyone. But let's talk about the group briefly. So when we've done a tour before, it's just been a tour for like people kind of in our age range. But this was all different, which was great, wasn't it? It was really cool. We had nice people on the group. So Laura and Keb, if you're listening, shout out to those guys from the States.
Can I just briefly say about them? What I love about these guys is they're American and they didn't start traveling until recently, I think within the last 7 years. And they kind of had the perception, particularly Keb, the man, that as he's American, if he went to different countries, they may not respond to him too kindly because he's American. For example, they wanted to go to Vietnam and they have some political issues with America.
They've been at war.
So they went there and he was really kind of nervous about it, but then realised that, no, the general people are just so sweet. Everybody loves meeting new people and they've had such good experiences that they keep travelling and I love it. There was also Alice, who was the only fellow Brit on the tour. So hi to Alice. There was also Anna and Alex, who are both from Canada, and they were travelling together. There was Karnak, who lives in Singapore.
Yeah, but he's also from the States. And then our adopted parents, or as we called them, Ma and Pa. And they were a couple, so originally from the Philippines, but they live in Los Angeles, in California. Yeah. And they are Gomez and Jean. And they were just so sweet, weren't they? And yeah, we spent a lot of time and then we kind of helped them around. And Gomez in particular, he's just mad. He's create like this little Filipino guy, but he's so loud. All these crazy noises he makes.
They were just the most positive people I think we've ever met while traveling. So we were just asking them like how much they love traveling.
Very much.
So, very much so. More of it would be better.
So is this like an adventure trip like this? Is that better than just sitting on a beach and relaxing for 2 weeks?
Oh, this is so exciting, man.
So you prefer this type of traveling?
Yeah,
We love it more than just lying down on the beach.
Out of every country that you've been to, where's your favorite country?
Everyone is a favorite. Yes, because everyone has its own qualities. Yeah. Scandinavia is a quiet countries. Australia and New Zealand, they're so nice. They seem to be vibrant too, some cities, but some are quiet areas.
Yeah.
Where are some of your favorite places?
Well, I like China because the food is fantastic.
Nice.
I love Chinese food, and our tour guide that time was very good.
Yeah.
And it's more of historical also, about the dynasties and everything. And I like Israel too, being religious and all about Jesus Christ, you know. I love Israel as a whole.
Right.
On the trip, you've said to us that you like it that we travel from a young age. So when did you start traveling together?
You know, we work hard. We didn't think much of traveling before because we have a daughter. We're thinking of her future too. So she worked really hard, but we make time in a year to get out. So there is no definite age that we started it.
Okay. So where's next for you guys?
We're looking at the internet. That would be very exciting to find out.
And finally, what do you think of Egypt?
Oh, Egypt is, exciting. Look at this. Where else can you find chaos? But then it really goes into order.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think sometimes it's quite hard, a bit tough, but it's a very good, crazy place.
Yeah, Egypt is nice. But it should have been better if they make it clean, you know, orderly, and improve everything for the tourists to come, yeah. Especially in the train. The train should be clean, should have a nice toilet. Yes, to be frank, you know.
Yeah. So I want to ask why you two think it's important to travel.
Oh, yeah, to meet people like you. we don't know that these people like you, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, have different kind of culture, but they're all humankind, have the same attitude. At first, you won't understand them, but then if you stay with them longer, you will better understand them, that they all want to communicate and relate.
And do you have any good advice for traveling as a married couple?
Oh, yeah, stay together and love each other.
That's good advice.
Yeah, that's it.
Simple.
And the last thing, can I get you to go, ay, ay, ay?
Ay, ay, ay!
That was Gomez and Jean, Mar and Pa, and you heard his catchphrase at the end, ay, ay, ay. But yeah, those guys, like, they're in their late 70s, still traveling around the world, inspiration.
Yeah, and they were just constantly happy and joking, and they were just amazing. Even like, they're walking through and he's helping her walk down some stairs, and he'll like slyly say to us, "This doesn't happen at home, you know."
Oh yeah, he said, "We're not always like this. Most of the time we're arguing," but obviously he's joking.
I can't imagine them two arguing one bit.
Yeah, so that's nice, you know, meeting all different people of different ages all around the world. So we're at the end of our tour now, but we're not going to go too much into it. But yeah, Encounters Travel, we didn't have a good experience with them. And then like we got an email a few weeks before the tour started saying, if you do a blog or anything like that, let us know and we'll give you a discount on future trips. And I thought, well, we're going on your tour anyway. So I explained, me and Amy, we do a podcast, blah, blah, blah. Email a guy called Jared. Never heard anything back. So Jared can go fuck himself. But like the whole company, they're just not very proactive. They're not thinking from a business sense. They did not keep the customers happy. So that's all I'm going to say. But Encounters Travel was not good.
No, we wouldn't recommend them. And also, you know, at the end of a tour, if you've done one, you'll know this happens. They give you feedback forms, which we're more than happy to fill out. Their forms were, again, really unorganized. There was nowhere to actually write feedback on it. It was an awful form. And I had the tour guide standing over my shoulder because I think he knew I was going to be writing some things. Yeah. So because he was reading it, I just ticked the good box on every single question. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to write an email instead, which I have done. I wrote an essay to them. I think it was about 6 pages long of everything that went wrong, and everything was unorganized. We missed about a third of the meals that we were bound to get. There was no time allocated to eat most days.
Yeah.
So we'd get to like 6 o'clock at night and we hadn't even had breakfast yet, and it's just unacceptable.
Yeah, the basic things people need. Yeah, toilets, like showers and food. Like, come on, you're looking after a group of tourists.
But as we record this now, I haven't heard back yet. Their policy is to get back within 30 days. I think we're at about day 28.
Yeah.
And I still haven't heard back, but I'll let you guys know if we get anything back.
But anyway, the only advantage of doing a tour was that they get you around the country, because now we've experienced Egypt, it's quite difficult. It's a bit of a hassle to get around. So anyway, they got us around, but wasn't very good. But next,
let's move on to more positive things.
Yeah, because
we were traveling independently.
So then for the rest of our stay in Cairo, we couch surfed with a guy called Islam.
And we will tell you about Islam after we have played our game for this episode. Now, I'm going to let you announce the name of it because you came up with it and it's pretty special.
I did. I just woke up one morning and I just thought, yes, that's it. So the game is called Who Do You Sphinx You Are?
Love it. Sphinx? Egypt?
Get it? The rest of the game might not be Egyptian themed whatsoever, but that doesn't matter. We've got the name.
So what do we do on Who Do You Sphinx You Are?
Okay, so we've probably all played this game before where you're sitting in a group of people and you have a name stuck on your forehead, you know, a celebrity, something like that. So everyone else knows who you are, but you're the only person that doesn't, and you have to ask questions, and the people you're asking questions to can only give a yes-no answer. So am I a woman? Yes or no? But this time round, yes. It's going to be a little bit different, because this is a podcast. So we are going to pick two people for ourselves. So let's say I've picked a person for myself. You can ask me questions, but all I can say is yes or no, so you have to guess who I am. So, got the rules?
Yep.
So let's play, as Amy would call it, who do you thinks you are. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So
I can't say it. Who do you sphinx you are?
That's it.
Okay.
Let's go.
So who's going first?
I will go first, as it's my idea. So
what does that mean? You're asking questions?
What does that mean? I'm not sure yet. I'm making this up as we go along. I'm thinking of someone who I am. You have to
I'm asking
guess.
The questions.
Who do you sphinx I am?
Who do you thinks you are?
Thinks. Okay, so yeah.
It's just making me speak with more of an Essex accent.
Yeah, people do say thinks with an F, don't they?
What do you thinks?
Yeah. So, okay, I know who I am. You've got to ask me some questions to
do
find out.
Do you know who you are?
I do know. So, question number one.
Are you a man or a woman?
I can only say yes or no.
Oh, crap. Wait, how many questions do I have?
8 questions.
Okay, so have I just ruined the first
no,
one?
No,
let's start again. Are you a man?
No.
Oh, so you're a woman. You yep. have a nunny.
Vagina.
Okay, are you an actor or actress?
No.
Are you a political being?
No.
Okay, so you're a woman that does something. Are you a singer?
No.
Oh, God. What do you do?
I'll go back to political, not really, but kind of, but not really.
Okay. Are you part of the royal family?
Yes. Oh.
Okay. Do I have to ask all 8 questions before I can guess?
No. So let's say if you guess it right on only 5, then that will be in your favour later on in the game. So you get more points, effectively.
Okay, I'm going to guess then. Oh, actually, no, I've got another question. Part of the English royal family?
Yes.
So I've asked 6 questions and I'm going to guess. Is it Princess Diana?
No.
Ooh. So I've got 2 more questions.
Yeah.
Is it Kate Middleton?
No.
Is it the Queen?
Yes.
Oh, well,
you got
it was too obvious.
Yeah, well, I didn't know whether that was... Because 8 questions is not much to guess something like this. So I went big. I went for the main one.
Okay, for the main dog.
So you've got a point, basically. You got it right.
Okay, but I asked 6 questions and I had 2 guesses.
Yeah, that's 8 questions.
Okay, 8 questions. Are we going to write this down or...?
I'll write it down on my phone now. We're so prepared. Well done, Amy. 1 point to you. Now it's your turn or my turn? I'm not sure how this works.
You're now asking the questions.
Okay. So do you know who you are?
Yes.
You think...
Is that one of your questions?
No, it is not. Okay, let's begin. Question number 1. Are you a man?
Yes.
Are you an actor?
Yes.
Are you American?
Yes.
Okay, that's 3 questions. Number 4. Would you say you're a middle-aged man? Basically...
Nearly?
Basically, either if you're not very young or very old, then I'd say, yeah, middle-aged.
Okay, then, yeah, middle-aged.
Okay. Question number 5. Are you a comedy actor?
Yes.
Oh, not convincing. Okay. Number 6.
I don't think you're going to get this.
Are you a black actor?
No.
Okay. Kind of comedy. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
Things that we've been watching lately.
I'll be amazed if you get this.
Question 7. Are you Jason Bateman?
No.
Because we're watching Ozark at the moment, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Question 8. Oh, here we go. I'm just going to have to guess the person, aren't I? Are you Bradley Cooper?
No.
Fail.
Sorry, mate.
Please tell us, Amy, who do you sphinx you are?
Justin Timberlake.
Singer and an actor.
Yeah, see, vital question there would have been, are you a singer? Because yes to an actor, yes to a singer, would have really nailed that one down.
That's a naughty one, being a bit of both. Okay, then, well done. So it's still 1-0 to you. So we'll go again. Basically, if you win this next round, it's over.
Winner, mate. Then I rule all in this relationship from that point.
Standard. So, your go. My go.
I'll ask the questions. Okay. Got your person in mind?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a woman?
No.
Okay, so you're a man.
You're saying there's only 2 genders? Let's not get into that.
I'm trying to think of a smart answer back to that, but I can't. Okay. Are you a singer?
No.
Are you an actor?
Yes.
So you're a male actor. Are you American?
Ooh.
You can Google it if you want.
No, but I think this person's half. I think actually yes, but yeah, not originally.
Okay. So that, because there's a lot of Australian actors that go over to America and then you think, like people like Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's Spanish, but American.
Oh, I thought she was British, but
oh, no,
like,
she's
she
British.
Seems really American.
No, you're right, she's British.
She's a confusing one, isn't she?
She's Spanish.
Spanish.
So you've asked five questions. What's your sixth one going to be?
I don't know. I am perplexed at this point. Okay, question number six. Is this person a comedy actor?
No.
Right, so it's going to be like thrillers and stuff. God, I can't think of anyone who acts and is half American. Oh, got someone in mind.
Oh, there's a twinkle in your eye.
Ooh.
So this will be question seven.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take a guess. Javier Bardem?
No.
Ooh. But from the looks of your face, that's quite a good answer.
It's a good answer. Yeah, someone who's like half. What is he? Where is he from? Is he Spanish or like Argentinian or something? But also American.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I
something like that. You're kind of on the right lines.
Okay.
What will your last question be?
So is a guess counted as a question? Because I thought.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Because okay. You're saying, are you? And I say yes or no. So it's still a question.
So can I have another question and a guess?
No, this is it.
This is the guess.
This is it. As wow. Michael Jackson once said, "This is it."
Okay.
He did say that.
Okay, there's only one person that's in my head, actually. And I'm pretty sure this is wrong, but I'm going to go with it anyway. The Asian guy from The Hangover who jumps out of the car naked. I don't know why he keeps jumping into my mind.
Good guess, but no.
Okay, who was it?
So now the game's over. Well, your round is over. Think, what episode are we recording today?
Oh, Rami Malek.
Yes, you've got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there you go.
American / Egyptian actor.
So, yeah, if you've seen iRobot, was it?
You
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, Mr. Robot. And as we're recording this, the film's just come out, Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah.
Where he plays Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, and he was also in that Night at the Museum film.
As an Egyptian.
As an Egyptian.
As a pharaoh, yeah.
He's actually a pretty big actor, but not many people know him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good guess,
though. So I was Rami Malek.
Rami Malek. Love it.
All right then, my turn to guess. Have you got your second person in mind?
No. I need to think of one.
Great.
Right, give me some elevator music. Okay, right, I've got my second one.
Okay, start with the standard question. Are you a woman?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you a singer?
No.
Okay, but maybe has sung a little bit. Actress?
Yes.
I love it that the people we think of just straight away, like actors or actresses, as if they're like the most important people in the world.
They are.
So that was two questions. Sorry, I said actress and you said yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, question number three. Have you, or this person, this lady, has she been in like lots of like comic, like Marvel films?
No.
Okay. Question number four. Comedy actress?
No.
Okay. I immediately thought of some of the people from Bridesmaids, but you ruled them out.
Because they are very funny.
Comedy gold. Question number
comedy
five.
Comedy goddesses, if you will.
That's right, very good, yeah. Comedy number five. Question number five. Are you an English actress?
No.
Okay, then. This might be stupid of me, but rather than waste a question, I'm going to assume you're American actress. But of course, there are actresses from other places.
Well, Hollywood's a big place, so it's
for
quite
sure.
Common for them to be American.
That's true.
Doesn't mean it's right.
I know. Yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
Mean it's wrong.
Question number six. Do you have blonde hair?
No.
That was a strong no. Question number seven. Do you have dark hair?
Yes.
Okay, last one. Question number eight.
Well, hasn't it got to be a guess?
Yeah, I'm going to have to guess who you are. That's my question. Are you... because we watch a lot of Friends, I'm going to say, are you Courtney Cox?
That's a good guess, but it's incorrect.
Failed completely at this game. Go on, who do you Sphinx you are?
Let's see if you can guess it. I'll give you a few clues.
Please.
I fancy her.
The actress in your favourite programme on Netflix, Masters.
Oh, not her.
Yeah, it's a programme called Masters of Sex.
It's great. You should watch it.
You fancy her. Oh, in...
I don't know if you
the
do
prison,
know this.
The prison programme on Netflix.
This is coming up with some of my weird quirks.
The lesbian killer. the lesbian killer film on... no, what's Orange is the New Black?
Who do I fancy in that?
Ruby something.
Oh, Ruby Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was in it for a couple of episodes.
But no.
She had.
Well, we could be here all day because there's loads of women that you fancy. Go on.
She's Spanish.
Penelope Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah?
Penelope Cruz.
Right, okay.
There you go.
So,
what a beautiful woman.
Cause is she actually American born or not?
I'm pretty sure she's Spanish.
Yeah, just Spanish. Yeah, no, you're right, actually. I think
because when she
right.
started acting, she was acting in Spanish and then gradually moved to English speaking.
I assumed she was American, but I got that wrong.
There you go, mate.
All right, well, interesting. Who do you Sphinx you are? That was good fun.
And
you,
I like that.
Yeah, you won. Well done.
Thanks. So, yeah, I got 1 point and you got nil.
1-0. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Right, after all that fun and games, shall we talk about Egyptian food?
Yes, one of my favourite topics whenever we are travelling.
Now, the first one we have to talk about is the, well, I want to say national dish, but it's the...
unofficial national dish.
Yeah, so this dish is called kushari, and the whole time we were there, I was calling it kashari because I'm too British.
Yeah.
But I believe it's called kushari, and this stuff is amazing.
How good was kushari? Proper comfort food.
Now, this dish is served in virtually every Egyptian restaurant, in every Egyptian home, and on every Egyptian street corner as well. It's an unusual combination. So kushari mixes lentils, macaroni, noodles, rice, all into a single dish, and then it's topped with spicy tomato sauce, although ours wasn't that spicy, was it? And it uses a special, like, Middle Eastern spice blend, garbanzo beans and fried onions, which are probably my favourite bit.
Proper crispy fried onions on top.
Yeah, and it's all kind of, like, layered up, isn't it? And then you pour the sauce on top and then mix it around and it's...
Oh, it's so good. And, yeah, what I mean by comfort food, because it's so, like, it's very carby. Like you said, there's, what, macaroni and rice and noodles in there.
Mm.
But it just fills you up. Great comfort food. The flavour is... amazing. The crispy onions are lovely. Lentils are really good as well.
Mm.
And of course, it was very, very cheap. It was such good value. I got a big bowl of it.
You got like a super bowl, didn't you?
Super bowl, yeah. Because when we're traveling, I can be a bit like a camel. Right?
This is so true.
And what I mean by that is, if I can have one meal a day, I'll do that, but I'll just make sure it's a big meal and I can store all that food for the rest of the day, like a camel stores water. Amy struggles with that because, yeah, you fill up really quickly, but then 2 hours later, you're like, no, I'm hungry.
Well, like an hour later.
Yeah.
I have to eat regularly, like small meals.
But yeah, but that food was great for me. I stocked up and I think that was my only meal of the day. Do you remember the name of the restaurant we went to? Because it's a particularly good place to get kushari.
Yeah, it's called Abo Tarek.
Yeah, and we just got an Uber straight there from where we were staying in Cairo.
Because Uber's super cheap.
Oh, great way to get around Cairo. Seriously, like between £1 and £2 to get across the city, and it's a big city. But I loved kushari. It was brilliant.
It was really nice, and we would recommend going to Abo Tarek. No endorsement from them. We're not sponsored by them, but I would just say it's a really good restaurant. We actually found it on a blog online, and we thought, you know, if it's got recommendation, why not go for it? And we were very impressed.
We loved it.
Also, I just want to kind of talk about people if you have any, like, food allergies or anything. So I myself, I'm gluten-free and dairy-free, but I kind of ignore the dairy-free and suffer the consequences and just feel sick all of my life.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to go completely dairy-free.
It is, but I do try to be quite strict with gluten-free, but I can tell you now, it was far too difficult in Egypt. I mean, when we met our couchsurfing host, Islam, I actually asked him, you know, is gluten-free a thing here? Is it quite easy to get gluten-free bread? And his answer was...
what is gluten-free? Now, he didn't even know. This is a guy who's in, like, his late 20s. He's a proper adult. Never, ever heard of gluten-free. He said there are probably lots of people in Egypt who are gluten-free, but they just don't know it.
Yeah. So bread is a really common thing. And as we just said in the dish kushery, there's a lot of carbs and wheat-based products. So noodles, well, the rice is okay, but the macaroni and things like that. So therefore, it is very difficult to be gluten-free. What would you say to somebody that's vegetarian or vegan in Egypt?
That's a good question. I would have thought that's okay. Yeah. Like in most of these places around the world where, okay, want of a better term, kind of poorer countries, because generally meat is more expensive. So like we just said, kushery, that had no meat in it, did it?
No meat, that's
true. So I think
true.
You're fine. But something that vegans would not approve of is what our couch-surfing host Islam made me try.
Yes.
Well, he didn't make me. I wanted to try it.
You had cow brains.
Yeah, I did. Now, on the one hand, I do think if you are going to kill animals to eat them, I think you should eat all the parts. So I'm on board with that. I approve of that. So I had a brain sandwich, cow brain sandwich. And the way I would describe it is there was obviously some flavouring on it. It was quite tasty, but it's a bit like when you get a KFC and you get a bit of a, like a bad bit of chicken. A bit crunchy, maybe a bit cartilagey, but it's still got the nice crispy skin on it. That's what I'd suggest it as.
That sounds tasty.
A bit of bad KFC. But, you know, I'm up for trying new things. It was fine. But you, even watching me, you were not happy, were you? Like, it
no.
made you feel quite sick.
I think I like a lot of food. I love my food. I'm not a massive fish person, but I don't get very queasy around foods. But this time, I actually felt really sick watching you eat it. It was making me gag a little bit.
Yeah, no, you were not in a good place with that. But, you know, it's cheap food that we got on the street. I believe it was less than £1. And back to the kushery, we had two bowls. Mine was big, two bottles of water as well. And we paid around £2 to £3 for a big lunch and drinks. So that just shows in Egypt you can get some really, really good deals. It is cheap if you go to the right places.
Yeah, and just to kind of sum up our food chat, I wouldn't say it's my favourite food in the world. I did really like kushery, but yeah, I didn't really get a good feel for it. And like we said earlier, since we've been travelling, we've now been to Jordan and Israel, and I loved the food there. That, I mean, it's no comparison, really. Not a massive fan of Egypt or its food.
That's fine. That is your opinion, and it's a valid one. So should we talk about our time in Cairo with our couchsurfing host, Islam?
Absolutely. So we had a chat with him and his friends, didn't we, while we were smoking shisha?
Yeah, how cool was this? I really like their social kind of lifestyle. We were sat, we were in a cafe, but we weren't in the cafe. The cafe just put tables and chairs out on the street. Very social. And they all just sit there, play board games, drink tea, smoke shisha. And it's a very social environment.
Yeah, and it's so strange because if we were back home and said to our friends on like a Tuesday night, hey guys, should we go home and play some board games? They'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
They would, yeah.
But in this culture, it felt really cool. We was all just kind of sitting there, all having guy time, despite the fact that I'm a woman.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was enjoying the guy time, smoking, having some chat, talking about politics, talking about lots of different things, smoking shisha, playing cards. It was amazing. It was really good. So we were sitting there with Islam, our host, and also two of his friends, Noor and Marwan as well, who has a super cool name because it sounds like marijuana. But we were just talking to them, saying that, you know, on our tour, we'd learned a lot about ancient Egypt. But what do the young people in Egypt right now think of their history?
Okay, we think we have, like, it's great history, but it's not like it's doing us any good. It's just something to study. Like, if we didn't have that history, maybe we'd have one less subject to study at school. But it's good to have a history.
Yeah. Do you guys agree with that? Any other thoughts about your history? Do you care?
No, I don't.
Well, you're from Kuwait, so you don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Well, I see Egyptian was the center of the world that time. We had 7,000-year culture that we really ruled the world with. So I'm proud to be an Egyptian.
That's good. So, like, now, what do modern-day young Egyptian people want? Like, what's important to you guys? Like, friends or family or getting married or sports? You know, what's important to you guys?
I would say friends. Friends, it is what makes you get by the day. Like, everything else would be stressing your life. Sometimes friends also, family, would be stressing you. Not sometimes, most of the time. But friends is the only window that you can steam out your pressure.
That's good. So we know you're married, Islam.
Yeah.
Are you both married?
No.
No. How old are you both?
I'm 20.
20?
21.
21. Okay, so Islam is 29, so he's a bit older. So is it important to you guys? That do you want to get married?
Not really.
No?
Not by this age.
Okay, what age?
I think 34.
Oh, really? That late?
34, 33, yeah.
Okay. And what about you?
29, 30.
And do you think that's normal for young people? Because to me, that sounds quite old. But is that normal, your opinion?
I think I need to get married when I'm financially dependent.
Okay. So it's about the finances.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the world first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go to prison that young.
So see the world first. So is travel important to you?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think, is that important for most Egyptians? Do you think, are Egyptian people like in a position where they can travel?
They can? I will say no.
But a lot of them don't want to?
A lot want to travel. Okay. But the expenses of the traveling is a bit heavy right now. So I would say no.
So we spoke about marriage because I'm assuming, tell me if I'm wrong, but in your religion, are you all Muslim?
Yeah.
It's important in your religion to get married, right? Do you agree?
It's not about it's important. It's about that there is no other options. Like, if you want to have sex, it must be your wife.
Yeah.
Same with kids or everything. So you get married.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. So what's a good way to meet your future wife? So, like, do you date? So you are married. How did you meet your wife?
We have only two ways to get married in Egypt. Either you know the girl beforehand, before you get, like, you've been in a relation, or you just meet her for the first time on the engagement day. This is a thing here. If you want to get married, you ask your mother, find me a bride. And she was like, yeah, the daughter of my friend, blah, blah. Look at her picture. She looks fine. You go meet her for the first time in a club or something, or in their salon, living room. And then you speak. What do you do? How much do you get paid? What do you think about? Like, normal conversation. And the guy will talk if it's, it will call them. If there is, like, I don't want to, I'd say, but if he thinks she's suitable for now. And she would say yes or no. If it's yes, they will have a second meeting, a third meeting, and they get engaged. Basically, this is like the engaging procedure. And then they will be engaged for like a year or more till they actually know each other and they start talking financially and start talking stuff. And then they get married.
So, say your mom is looking for somebody. What does she want? What does she want for you?
Okay, the description, the criteria. Okay, of course it's different, but for my family, number one is religion. Even though my mom didn't look more for my bride, but anyway, religion, personality, of course looks, but looks is like, it's the taste of the groom. It doesn't have to be her taste. There is a photo. So religion and personality and their financial situation. If they are balanced, they don't have, one shouldn't be, the difference shouldn't be too much.
So what Islam said about meeting your future wife and dating, do you think that'll be the same for you too, or do you want it to go a different way?
No, I really want it to go a different way.
A different way? So how?
I don't think I'm going to marry any girl from Egypt.
Really? Okay. So you're from Kuwait. Is that because you want to marry a girl back in Kuwait, or do you mean from somewhere else in the world?
Maybe from someone else in the world.
Okay. What would your family think about that?
They won't agree, but I really wouldn't care.
They won't be happy, but you don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you?
No, I wouldn't trust my judgment of my parents. So finding love isn't something you can run for or go after or something. It just comes suddenly. So you're just going to wait and you'll have a prize.
For you, it doesn't matter religion or where she's from?
No, I don't really care. Because religion is up to God, not up to us. So I will not be judged. Yeah.
Interesting. That was brilliant to hear the views of those guys. And yeah, really interesting. The main thing that I pick up on is what Islam said. He's kind of saying in their culture, you know, with their religion, it's like you don't really have much choice but to get married, because if you don't get married, you can't do things. You can't have kids. You can't have sex. You know, there's a lot you can't do if you're not married. So it's kind of inevitable. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and it kind of struck me to be quite fascinating that how different marriage is perceived in Egypt to, say, the UK. So we met each other fell in love.
Yeah, that wasn't planned or anything.
Yeah, and it kind of took a long time, and then you made the decision to propose to me. But it strikes me how much of kind of like a business relationship it is in Egypt. And like you said, if you get married, it then unlocks all these other features of your life that you can explore. And it is heavily based on finance, you know, like he said. And I actually agree with this, that both parties come with a equal balance of finances or money. Because we then, after this, had a conversation with them, and they thought it was so strange that, for example, now we're married, if we had children and we got divorced, I am more likely to get that money because I would be looking after the children and I kind of have more right to it, even if I didn't work in this relationship and you did, and you physically earned the money. And that was so bizarre to them. And actually, it was, again, this is how traveling broadens your mind, because I hadn't really thought about it in depth before. And they made me think about my own culture.
Yeah. And I remember one time talking to Islam, and I said, in Europe, it's very common that people live together, have kids, but are not married. And he said, why? Yeah, but this is fascinating to me. This is why we travel, to learn different cultures. So I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
And sorry, can I just say quickly, so I know I butted in there, but I'm very glad that when we first met, your family did not judge my financial situation, because there's no way they would have approved. I was working in Tesco's.
You're a young boy at the time.
At least I had a job.
Yeah, exactly. You're a hardworking man, so don't you worry about it. Yeah, and the other thing I just wanted to point out as well, and how they said that the most important thing for them is friends, and that was so evident when we were there. Their friendships are so much stronger than what I would say ours are in the UK.
Yeah.
They see each other almost every night, and they just really enjoy each other's company. And again, it's a way to kind of look at your own culture. And we kind of realised we don't actually see our friends that often unless we're getting drunk.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and like you said, seeing other cultures makes you realise what's good and bad about our own. So we could learn from them and they could learn from us, absolutely. One thing I couldn't ignore, and I asked Islam this when we were out, like you said, Amy, it was like guy time. And I said to him, like, where are all the girls? Like, honestly.
Where are the girls at?
But he said that they go to their own places to hang out. And that might be like an upmarket cafe or like a salon or something like that. So it's very separate. And that comes down to the culture. Like, the men are very proud, and if they knew that everyone was mixing, if there was a slight chance that another man would hit on their wife, like they couldn't live with that. They'll think, why was I not there to protect her? Do you see what that is? That is what they were describing. It's just the mentality over there. So just to avoid that scenario ever happening, they just, for the most part, stay separate, don't they? And I couldn't help but notice that.
Yeah, and if the man knows that his wife is going to somewhere where there might be a lot of men hitting on them, rather than going with her, the option is she doesn't go.
Yeah, to avoid that scenario ever happening.
Because it's just too embarrassing.
Yeah.
And along that conversation, I also remember asking him, because we were sitting in, so in this cafe we were sitting in, how many people would you say, the first night, how many people would you say that were there?
Quite a lot, 30 or 40.
30 or 40.
More.
I would say there was probably about four women there, me being one of them. And because I remember seeing another group of women on another table, and it really shocked me, because I was like, wow, like, there's girls here. And it prompted me to ask Islam if women can smoke, because I'd been sitting there for about an hour smoking shisha, and it hadn't occurred to me, oh my God, like, am I allowed to be doing this? I just felt suddenly, oh my God, for the past hour, I've been doing something that's really rude. And he said, women don't smoke in public. So those cafes you were talking about, the higher class ones that they go to, they can smoke there, but not really in public. It's just not really a respectful thing to do.
Yeah. Fascinating, hey? I really enjoyed learning all about their culture.
Yeah, and it is just so different. And just in case you are going and you are a woman and you want to smoke shisha on the street, I think it's okay for tourists. So don't worry too much about it. I then said, is it okay that I'm smoking? And I said, yeah, it's fine. You're a tourist. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I also said, is it okay that Amy's here hanging out with a group of guys? And they said, yeah, because we're friends. He said, yeah, it might be different if Amy was married to one of them, but we're friends, that's fine.
Yeah, and they said, if anything, the only person that would have a problem with it is you, because you're my husband. Yeah. So they were saying, if anything, you're kind of responsible for me. So if it's not stressful for you having to look out for me, then it's okay. It's okay with them.
Absolutely. Let's sum up our time with Islam. And he really was a great couchsurfing host. He was our only window into real Egypt on that trip, I felt like, because when you have a tour, you're in like this big tourist bubble. So he showed us around Cairo, which is a fascinating city. It's massive, it's mad, it's crazy. At times you just want to get out, but it was fascinating to spend some time there and to see it. And when we were staying at his house, he was just a true gent. He was a true gentleman. Even when, I mean, he gave us his bedroom. And even when he's walking past the door to go to the bathroom, he says, guys, is it okay if I walk past? Like, you're decent? Just, yeah, what a true gentleman and a great guy. And actually, he's quite well known in the area, isn't he? He's a bit of a local celebrity.
Yeah. Just before we move on, I just want to echo that and just say I felt completely safe with him. And that's it. He's a complete gent. And like you said, he asked if he could go past the room in case we were getting changed. Yeah, he was just such a lovely couch surfing host. But yeah, he was famous. So he's quite into Japanese culture. He's into anime. And he kind of set up his own group for people that are interested in anime in Cairo or Egypt. And so he's a little bit famous.
He is. He throws loads of events. And people, like, a lot of people know him. He is the founder of EGICON, Egypt Anime Games Conventions. And that's what he does. He organises these sorts of events. So he's a big deal. People know him.
If you're interested in, or you know that you're going to Egypt and you're interested in anime and that sort of culture, I would definitely recommend meeting up with him. He showed us his wedding video as well. So he had a bit of an anime wedding, which was really cool and different. And they made this whole video of him kind of fighting off other warriors to save his wife. And it was actually really interesting.
Yeah, it's this whole choreographed fight. It was really cool watching it. I love that when people do something different for their wedding. So yeah, that was good fun watching that video.
Lovely. Now let's move on from a really good couch surfing experience to something that wasn't so good.
So this didn't really work out. We were due to meet another couchsurfing host in a small beach town called Gamasa in the north of Egypt. And because no one heard of it, I thought this is going to be a really authentic experience. But local people we spoke to in Cairo said, why are you going there? But I'm thinking, it's going to be great, don't worry. Long story short, we got the local bus, which is very cheap, but it's one of them buses, it's like a little minivan, and you get on, and the van leaves when it's full. So who knows what time you're going to leave? And I think we waited almost a couple of hours for it to leave.
Yeah.
But you're very cheap. It took about 3 or 4 hours to get there, maybe a little bit more.
And actually waiting in the bus stop was probably the best bit of this whole Gamasa saga, because we got to talk to local people. Because we were waiting there for 2 hours, they were really interested, they wanted to have photos with us, and was kind of talking in broken English. And that was really good, actually.
Yeah, because there were no tourists there, and tourists don't go there. And actually, this was the good part of Egypt. Away from the tourist areas, the locals were lovely.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, but in the tourist areas, not very nice, quite aggressive, not very nice to Amy, being a woman. But away from the tourist areas, they were fantastic. So we got this bus there, and we met the guy. And it's long story short, because we've told this already so many times, I don't want to go into it completely, but the guy said, you can't stay with me because my parents are coming tomorrow and it's against our culture to have, as a woman, wasn't it? Like, you were, you were, Amy, you were the problem.
I am always the problem.
But he said, a friend of mine has got a spare apartment you can use and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Okay, great. But the apartment was horrible. There was cockroaches running around. The water wasn't working. Therefore, the toilet wasn't working and wasn't flushing. We thought, we need to get out of here. And
this there was no Wi-Fi as well.
Yeah, no Wi-Fi.
Which sounds like a first world problem again. But when you're in a place you don't know where the bus station is, you don't know how to get to somewhere for breakfast, you just don't know anything.
Exactly. And this town, Gamasa, wasn't very nice. So we thought, we want to get out of here as soon as. It's quite late at night. Let's just find a hotel and then we'll leave early in the morning. Walked around town late at night with all our bags, couldn't find a hotel. Tuk-tuk driver, well, yeah, they have tuk-tuks there, which was surprising. Like a taxi driver, we said, take us to a hotel. He took us to this weird back street place and we didn't like the look of it, so we kind of ran away from him. Couldn't find a hotel, went back to our apartment, couldn't get in the building. We locked ourselves out and the key wasn't working. Then Amy thought, shit, I've lost my phone.
I thought I'd left it on the tuk-tuk.
Everything is going wrong. And I phoned the guy, I said, we're locked out. And he told me what to do to open the door. And we got in. Amy found her phone, thank God. But then I realised I left my What the Foe hoodie in the tuk-tuk.
Which is an absolute travesty because that hoodie is life, yeah. As you guys know, because you've got your own hoodies, haven't you?
You all do. You're wearing them right now as you listen. So it was one of them nights where everything was going wrong. Then we had to spend the night in this cockroach place, dirty bed, and we just woke up in the morning. We managed to walk back to the bus station where we came from the day before, and thank God Egypt is so cheap. We paid for a private taxi, because we were done by this point, a private taxi to take us all the way to Alexandria. It's about a 200-kilometre journey, maybe a bit more. And I think it cost, like, in English pounds, around 20, 25 English pounds.
25, yeah.
I don't even know how that covered the petrol, let alone the guy's time and the car we were in.
But the funny thing is that I think he thought he was kind of mugging us off. But we thought we were getting a good deal, so everybody was happy.
Everyone's a winner. So it was nice to get a private ride a few hours to our final destination, Alexandria. But that was just a whole bad situation. You know, we talk about a lot of our good couchsurfing experiences, but there are bad ones as well. It's a bit of a lottery, but most of the time it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd say 90% of the time you always get a good host and you get on really well and you learn so much about the culture. I would never discourage anyone from doing it. There's just little times like this. And to be honest, I wish I'd just listened to my gut, because before we went to go see him, about an hour before we were leaving, he messaged saying, you know, oh, I'm not sure Gamasa's the right place for you, when previously he'd tried to encourage us to go and was saying this is the place for you and was being quite pushy about it. But yeah, it was just one big issue. And to top it all off, this might be a bit too much information, but I was on my period as well, so that wasn't working out because I was using one of those menstrual cups and
you need to clean them, and we didn't have running water. It was bad. So we got to Alexandria ASAP. We had about 5 days left in Egypt by this point. Like, we were done, we were ready to leave. So we thought, let's try and find somewhere quite comfortable. We actually found an all right hotel in Alexandria for quite cheap, and it was comfortable, it was okay. And Alexandria as a whole, different from the rest of Egypt. It was very, like, European looking, I thought. The climate was different, it was a bit cooler and wetter from the rest of Egypt.
Yeah, this was actually one of the first times we saw rain on the trip.
It was, but Alexandria as a whole was all right. It's quite a nice looking city, it's a big city as well, by the water. But like I said, we were just ready to go, really, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we did get mugged off in Alexandria by another couch surfer.
Oh, God, that was another situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we were originally supposed to stay with a couch surfer in Alexandria, but because we were a bit fed up, we thought, no, let's get a hotel. But we said to him, we'll still meet up and you can show us around the city. And he was well up for that. We met him, seemed like a nice guy. And then later on, Amy was actually not feeling very well. She needed to get to a toilet ASAP.
This has been a lot of information about me, this podcast.
Periods, shitting yourself.
No. I was not doing that.
No, I know. So then we said to him, we're really sorry, mate. Like, we're having a good day with you, but we need to go back, so we're going to get an Uber. And he said, don't worry about it. My mate's on his way in his car. He'll take you back. Okay, fine. He then started driving us the wrong way through this park. And I was like, can we just go to the hotel? And he said, yeah, we just need to go here first. I'm like, what are we doing? Then he said, oh, my mate, he's a driver for Kareem. It's a bit like Uber, but cheaper. He said, my mate's just got a job. So either he can take you back to the hotel for money or he can take the job. And the price he gave us was way more than what it should have been. So we thought, oh, this has all been a scam just to get us in his mate's car. So we ditched them. We then got an Uber for half the price back to the hotel. And we just didn't want to leave the hotel anymore, did we?
And we just needed to relax and get some work done, really. And that's when we recorded our Greece episode.
That's right. We did, yeah.
Let's get off the negative stuff and talk about our new feature that is now happening on every episode, Fobservations. Now, if you haven't heard of this, it's faux, like our name. Observations.
We are so clever.
Fobservations. So these are just little things that we noticed when we were travelling around a country. As you know, we're full-time travelling now, so this is going to be a regular occurrence. And just, yeah, these are little things that we noticed. I noticed that a lot of people have missing teeth in Egypt, which is very ironic because the first ever dentist was Egyptian.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, the other thing that I kind of mentioned earlier with the pyramids as well is you'll probably need to research or have some sort of guide at any of the attractions or temples if you want to learn something, because there's just no writing anywhere.
Yep.
Another thing that we noticed was in Egypt, they're quick to take your money but slow to deliver the service.
Yes, that's very true. And on our tour, the tour company, one of the guys said, have you got any feedback for us, like anything good or bad? And we tried to tell him, actually, well, this wasn't very good. He's like, oh, no, but that's because of this. It's like, well, so you don't really want the feedback, do you? But you're right, they're happy to take your money and then say, yeah, let's do this, but very slow to deliver on that promise, unfortunately.
And along the same lines, the staff to customer ratio in Egypt is insane. So you'll have about 80% staff to 20% customers, yet they're still slow.
Yeah.
There's just always so many people working at any given place.
That's true. Yeah, there was a particular restaurant we stayed near Alexandria, which we went to almost every day because it was quite good. But even then, they were so slow. It's frustrating.
And I think we went there probably, we don't normally go to the same place a few times, but we were in Egypt and we just, well, obviously we're in Egypt, but we just wanted to just know what we were getting at that point. We were just sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the four times we went there, they got our order wrong every single time.
Yep.
And lastly, the airport in Alexandria is one of the weirdest airports we've ever been to.
It was, wasn't it?
We had two checks of our tickets and passports before even walking into the airport.
Yeah, and the place was deserted, a bit like a ghost town. It was like, where are all the other travellers at? It was a strange place. It reminded you of somewhere a bit like North Korea or like Turkmenistan, where you hear that it all looks like it's not really real. It's all for show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was very strange. And when I went through security as well, I just want to say I've never been touched the way that she touched me that day. It was a special moment. I miss her a lot.
You can't stop thinking about her.
No, we cannot.
Yeah, but on a serious note, yeah, security is tight in Egypt because, yeah, they're rightfully worried about, you know, terror attacks or something like that, because that really hits the tourist industry and it can really damage the country. So there are a lot of checks everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, right. So to round this episode off, let's talk about our rating out of 10. I would say my review out of 10, I know you don't like decimal points in this, but I'm going to give it a 3.5. And again, I feel like I'm always sounding like I'm being harsh on these reviews, but I need to leave space for the places that I love. So I gave Cuba a 0.5 and Brazil and India are a 10 for me. But yeah, I feel I wouldn't go back there. I feel like I've done it. Well, actually, the only time I would go back is if we'd visit the Red Sea, Sharm el Sheikh kind of area, which is very holiday. It would just be a holiday. I wouldn't be travelling.
Yeah.
But I would recommend, that's kind of the part that we missed. And all the locals said, oh, you should be going there. You should be going there. It's beautiful. And we agree. We should have gone that way rather than maybe Alexandria. But we had a cheap flight from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would give it a 3.5. I did enjoy my time there. I don't regret going at all. I'm so glad I ticked off a few of my bucket list items. And I did love it. And I loved meeting the local people that were really nice, like Islam and his friends. So yeah, I'd give it a 3.5.
That's actually more than I thought you were going to give it. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10. And the time we had with Islam was fantastic. Pyramids were good. But the rest, just, yeah.
And the felucca.
Yes, yeah, the sea in the River Nile was quite special. But yeah, 4 out of 10. I honestly, and I'm always honest, I think me or a solo man traveller would have a better time. Because I wouldn't have, the things that were frustrating Amy, the way they treat women in a lot of scenarios, that got to me. But of course, if I wasn't with a woman, I wouldn't have seen all that stuff. And yeah, if you like football and Mo Salah, you can watch football. There were times actually when I was watching a football game with the locals when we were staying at their place in Alexandria, you were in the bedroom. I'm watching football with the locals and having a great time. So yeah, I think being a solo guy, you could have a better time. But 4 out of 10, it can be quite a frustrating country.
And I just want to make one final point there is when you're saying how they treat women and things, that's just a culture difference. And that's why we're struggling with it. I want to make it clear that the men there do not think, oh, I'm going to do that to be horrible to that woman. It's in their culture. It's not them being horrible. It's actually quite endearing how they're really protective of their women. But from our culture, it seems quite rude. But yeah. It's just a culture difference. So I just want to make it clear that Egyptians aren't rude and horrible to their women on purpose.
No.
It's just a culture difference. It's not, I'm going to be horrible to her.
No, it's true. And it's hard to get across and describe it honestly. But yeah, you did get a lot of men, you could see staring and saying things, but because in their mind you're wearing the wrong thing, even though you were actually, you, Amy always covers up.
Yeah,
shoulders,
I love baggy
legs.
Clothes. I like big kind of male clothes, and that's just my style. I like
then
that.
It's harder in really hot countries to cover up. But yeah, always be respectful where you are, respect the local cultures. But it was a daily struggle for you to think, right, what do I wear now? Am I going to be judged or things like that?
Yeah.
But I would just like to finish by saying, I'm glad I went to Egypt. There are things there that everyone should see. I'm really glad that I went. We just had a bit of a tough time.
So what is next on What the Faux Travel podcast, I hear you ask? We travel to Jordan after this, so that will be our next main episode, as well as a mini episode in between as well. Don't forget, guys, we are on Patreon, so all of this content that you're hearing now is also in video form on our Patreon, so make sure you check that out on What the Faux Travel podcast. And as we said at the start of the episode, if you could give us a juicy little good iTunes review, that would make us incredibly happy.
Thank you so much.
Right, so that's it for Egypt. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Shukran.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefaux@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefaux.travelpodcast.com.